listening to the Self-Help Podcast, a weekly no-nonsense guide dedicated to your emotional health and well-being. Presented by entrepreneur Edward Lamb and psychotherapist Sean Orford. For more information, visit livingthepresent.co.uk.
There we go. All right, hello, welcome to episode 240 of the Self-Help Podcast, a special episode. We're talking about veganism.
We are.
We've got our good friend Jodie here. How are you
doing,
Jodie?
Hello, thank you for having me.
Pleasure. We'll introduce you properly shortly. Sean, welcome.
When you say that, we'll introduce you shortly, it always sounds like you're calling us shortly.
Surely you can't be serious.
I'm Cole. How are you doing? You good?
I'm great, actually. I'm feeling really good. I was a bit ill. Like, everyone in the universe has been ill over Christmas and New Year.
I've been
Year.
Avoiding it. I can just feel the beginnings.
Beginnings? Yeah. So you're just getting it now.
I'm feeling a bit like... You're a bit snotty and coughy too.
In some ways...
It's going, is
it? To you.
I'm kind of a little bit grateful for the illness. I haven't been ill at all in like a year or two, I was trying to think. For a week, I was like, ugh. It was almost like I had like low-level depression as well. Because you start ruminating when you're in bed about all the things which don't usually worry me. But I feel great now, and it's like, oh, thank God for that, I'm all right.
So I haven't got
sort of maybe every now and again we need a little bit of a low just to kind of...
Remind us of the high.
Yeah.
But maybe what you're saying is that we actually all need to learn to take proper breaks.
Yeah.
You know, that idea about having some silent space, which isn't like being on holiday or isn't, you know, going away with the family. It's like actually having some space where you can just stop and be you for a short space of time.
Yeah.
And just do your processing, do the internal housework.
Possibly. We'll talk about that maybe in another episode.
I think that could be an episode.
To get through today. There's going to be loads of links and really interesting stuff that you've got to check out to get to know this topic a bit better. livingthepresent.co.uk is where you'll find them all and all our previous episodes. If you sign up for our... Put your email address in the box, we'll send you alerts for this show and you'll get some free meditation files, other bits and bobs, which I can't remember what they are, but they're all fantastic. So
there's an Alzheimer's kit. It's fantastic.
And a discount code for our book, Live in the Present, as well. That's in the email, welcome email too. Not too shabby. I don't care what you've been up to this week, Sean. We're not going to do that.
Well, I think you should.
We've got so much to get through. Unless there's anything special you want to mention.
No, I'm good.
You're working hard. We're all working hard,
we're
trying to get
good.
Better.
Yeah.
And we're talking about veganism this week, and we've got an expert, can I say?
Oh, I don't know about that.
To help us along, because she knows loads of this stuff. You've been vegan for a year, vegetarian for a lot longer.
Yeah, over 20 years.
But what's your name? Where'd you come from?
My name is Jodie Bartolank, and I come from the Wirral, and I'm an actress, and I have been a vegetarian for over 20 years, and a vegan for 1 year.
Okay, we're going to come on to your story about veganism. You've got a website, jodieb.co.uk.
I certainly have.
Which we'll link to, get to know Jodie a bit better, do a bit of music as well.
Do a bit of singing.
Yep.
Acting.
Very talented girl. You've been on telly and all, haven't you?
I don't like to talk about that because one of the things is for being like, you know, Britain's worst driver and kind of, so we'll just...
Okay, yeah.
But you did beat it so well.
Claim to fame. Okay, let's crack on. Veganism, do you want to define it initially? I have got a Wikipedia definition somewhere. Oh no, I haven't pasted it in. But what's veganism to you?
There is an official... I'm sure there's an official definition. But
plant-based diet?
Plant-based diet. I think veganism can mean lots of different things to lots of different people.
Yeah.
But to me, it is about eating a bit more consciously and...
Mindfully.
That's the word I was looking for. Sorry.
Yeah. So I try and get that in every episode. Yeah. It's a proper buzzword, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
For me, it's about the animals. For other people, it's about a lot of different things. But
It can be... Well, like my brother had a crack at it and is still doing pretty well with it. And it was more health reasons for him.
Yeah.
He just kind of realised that his diet, pretty standard meat-eating diet, wasn't so good for his internal systems, shall we say. So we tried veganism and it made a big impact. So there's the health side... There's the animal side, there's the environmental side on a wider scale.
On a wider scale. I mean, like I say, for me, it's about the animals, because I believe animals are here with us, not for us. But a lot of other people do it for health reasons, because there's, I'm sure you've seen a lot of reports in the news about meat having effects on long-term illnesses, and people are actually being told by doctors to reduce meat and dairy. And the environment, obviously the greenhouse gases that it produces to raise all these factory-farmed animals.
So you were a vegetarian from 15.
Yeah.
Your mum was already vegetarian.
My mum was a vegetarian. So big influence.
Step for you, that.
Quite an easy step.
So what made you switch from just vegetarianism to...
to veganism. And I hate to use that word, sorry to say that, because I hate labels. I think that labels bring... unfortunately bring negative connotations, I think that.
Yeah.
I prefer the word plant-based diet. But for me, it was health reasons. I had a cyst that was growing, and when I stopped having dairy, it reduced without medication, so...
Was that from your own research, or did doctors tell you to try
putting dairy?
Is this kind of seeping into the health service?
Kind of advised, suggested...
Yeah.
...that I should try... as opposed to medicinally following this advice, suggested.
Are doctors and nurses and health professionals allowed to advise this?
It depends on how mindful they are. We do have a doctor locally who is a homeopath as well as a GP, and he is amazing, he's extraordinary, and he will prescribe mindfulness and meditation and all kinds of things for people. But he's out of the normal run. The idea that dairy products are bad for you is becoming mainline, both science and psychological science as well, because of the effects it has on you. But the issue is the growth hormone.
Yeah.
And what stopped your cyst growing was the lack of growth hormone in the dairy product. And across the board, generally, if you've got tumours, if you stop all dairy products straight away, they tend to stop growing, and then many of them will start to shrink.
Yeah.
Yeah, they may not disappear completely, but they may become a tenth of their size. I mean, I've had all kinds of patients, had all kinds of issues like that.
Yeah.
You know, but it's still seen as a bit voodoo-y in some areas of science. So when you start talking about it, people think you're being some kind of tree-hugging nutter.
Yeah.
Rather than actually bedding it in real science. But it is in real science now.
Yeah.
Which is good.
Yeah. Well, I've got reasonably high cholesterol, which I actually haven't checked in a while, but...
I have to say this to you. I meant to say it to you last week. There's loads of research come out that's saying about the normality of high cholesterol for certain genome types.
Yeah, yeah.
And that the idea of telling everybody, you got to get... No, well,
it's not an exact science, is it?
No, not at all. If your family have a high cholesterol level, then you have to work within that range. So as long as you know what your range is and you make sure that it's not going too high, then you're safe.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's the point.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I remember the first visit I had to the docs about it. I was quite scared initially because, like, I had this phone call from the... someone on the desk saying, you've got to come and see the doctor immediately. I was like, bloody hell. But learned then that it wasn't something to panic about. But in the second visit, when it was still a bit higher, but it had come down because I cut out quite a bit of dairy. I had a more interesting chat with a nurse who was telling me about the Mediterranean diet.
Yeah.
Which wasn't 100% plant-based, but it was more about eating local veg that's grown locally, hasn't been washed too much, processed, etc., etc. So it's just about getting to know your body, I think, this process initially, isn't it?
Yeah.
We all have different... ways of processing food and certain things that we're intolerant of, etc.
Your body is an individual environment to you, and that includes the way that your digestive system works. We know that there's more nerve endings in your digestive system than your brain. It has a massive effect on your system. Not just your gut, but also your brain chemistry is individual to you.
Yeah, and I think that when you say about listening to your body, Ed, it's like I would never... try and force the way I eat on other people, because I think everyone is on their own journey with food, and they have to be in tune with themselves and see what's best for them and what they need.
Yeah, well, that's what we're trying to politely do with this show, with everything we talk about, really. But I think a lot of the things we do talk about is because our dear listeners are quite kind of high level thinkers already. There's probably quite a lot of vegetarians, vegans listening to this as it is. I think the issue we have, and I have when I'm talking about like trying to encourage people to ride to work, to use the car less, to be more environmentally minded is not to sound too preachy in how we can best get our message across, isn't it, really?
Yeah, I think when people ask you, you know, I have a lot of people who come to me and say, I'm thinking of trying to cut down on meat, you know, I don't instantly go into a rant about animals or the environment, or I just...
I'll show one of those videos of animals getting chopped up and squealing in agony.
Despite the fact it is very important and a very subject that's close to my heart, I think that the more you try and force people, the more they'll back off from it. I recently went to an animal sanctuary in Spain, a vegan animal sanctuary called Jacob's Ridge, and they cook all vegan food for you there, and you get to spend time with the animals and feed them. And the person that I went with made a real connection with Bill and Ben, because their job was to feed Bill and Ben every day, and grew real close to them and came back and said, I don't want to eat meat anymore. And this was someone I'd been suggesting for 10 years that they don't eat meat.
Yeah.
But they had to go on that journey, their own food journey, and make that connection for themselves. So it's, you know, it's about leaving everyone be to go along that path.
Imagine if you went to a restaurant and someone led a calf around the dining room and said, OK, this is what's for dinner, chaps. Who's going to bang it on the head?
Yeah. Yeah.
Can you imagine the outrage that there would be? And yet that's the reality of what happens.
Yeah.
Yeah. But it's weird how we have different connections with different types of animals. A lot of vegetarians will eat fish. I think that is a bit weird.
You're a pescatarian.
Because you might not want to knock a cow on the head and kill it there, but you might go to a restaurant and see a tank of lobsters, and people won't. They'll pick one out quite easily, won't they?
Yeah.
And then it'll be taken off to be boiled, slowly boiled.
I have Jeffrey over there.
So, yeah, there's a weird disconnect there.
It is, but I mean, a lot of people who come to me for help and advice on what to eat, when to eat, or how to eat it, where they get the B12, where they're going to get iron, where they're going to get the protein, and for a little bit of guidance and support, if they've been full-on meat eaters, because I know a lot of people who eat kangaroo steaks, ostrich steaks, shark, snake, and they've been that full-on meat eater, I often suggest to them, and it's just a suggestion from me, I'm not saying this is what everyone should do, to kind of go down to chicken and fish.
Yeah.
Then go to veggie and then go to vegan, because it's like, you know, people who are already dealing with change don't kind of need too much
baby steps
in one go. Baby steps.
It's changing your taste buds as well. I mean, as much as the vegan industry has tried to produce vegan cheese, vegan cheese, from my experience, the majority of the time tastes like bars of soap. And for me, it's a case of, rather than trying to replicate like meat and two veg, forget it. Start again. Change the way you're eating.
I think you're right. We'll talk about some celebs that are pushing veganism, which is pretty cool. Will.i.am, I know we'll talk about him.
Yeah.
He mentioned the Impossible Burger, which are a San Francisco startup company that are replicating the beef burger. To the point where it
looks gorgeous.
It looks like it's kind of got blood seeping out of it. When you cook it, it kind of is really juicy, like a perfect Aberdeen Angus burger would look.
But it's completely vegan.
Yeah,
it's completely vegan. Yeah, there's no meat in it whatsoever. Is that going to be that kind of thing? And same with Linda McCartney burgers, which are amazing, and I've had them and I love them to bits. Is that just a stopgap, really? Because shouldn't we be trying to get to the point where we don't need to kind of fake that texture of meat at all?
It's mindset, isn't it? It's
it is mindset. And I think if people who are big, massive meat eaters, giving up meat, they want something to replace it that's similar. But the further along the path you go into the journey, like I make everything out of a book that I picked up in Jacob's Ridge, a lady who... who was at the sanctuary, and she's now got her own book called The Vegan Food Pimp. And she's got loads of things in there. And I kind of make everything from scratch now. So I've gone from the replicated meat products to making everything from scratch. And I think people can think that's quite complicated. It scares them at first.
Yeah.
And I've often come across books that, you know, you've got to go to kind of the other side of the country to source the ingredients, and they take hours. But the Vegan Food Pimp, she really simplifies everything, and that took me on a journey of making things out of chickpeas and making things out of this and making things out of mung beans and and all different kind of things. So I think at first it can seem quite scary, but once you've come out of that processed zone into making non-processed foods, it's really nice. It's a really nice experience. Sean's got a great book, which is on my knee here, actually.
Sean's got lots of good books.
He has. 366 Rice, Beans and Grains.
Wow, 360 ways to cook rice, basically. Okay, cool. Again, we've got a lot of resources to mention in the show notes to get all there, but that's a good one.
Yeah.
What was your path to vegetarianism, Sean?
I was brought up as a meat eater because we were poor East Enders. We used to eat viscera, so we used to eat lots of hearts and livers and kidneys and all that kind of stuff. And the worst thing on the planet to eat is chitlins. You ever had chitlins?
Chitlins.
A chitlin is pig's intestine that have been cut in slices, so it's like calamari.
Yeah.
And then fried with onions. And you know you've hit ground when you start having that, or eating a pig's head. That's a good one.
Did it come with an apple in the mouth and all that?
a pig's head for a poor family was a roast dinner from the cheeks. It was brains on toast. It was tongue in sandwiches. And then it was a pea and ham soup.
A what?
So out of a pig's head, which cost 12 and a half pence then, people live for a week with a pig's head. Like
that's
a family
amazing,
would.
Isn't it?
You know what I mean?
A different world.
But if that's what you're brought up with, that's what you eat, isn't it?
Yeah.
When you've got choice, because I went from that to being vegetarian, not really intentionally, just because I was living in communities that were vegetarian.
Yeah.
And I didn't really question it until I left, and then I found myself eating a Mother's Pride bacon sandwich with lots of tomato sauce, and then I'm thinking, why am I doing this? And I was in the situation where I had the opportunity where I wanted to face what it would mean to be a real meat eater, to be honest, an honest meat eater.
Yeah.
So I bought a small holding in Wales and raised my own animals and ended up having to get to the point where I had to raise, slaughter, you know, process all that kind of stuff, do all the things that meat eating requires. And I did that.
Milking cows and all that as well? Or?
Yeah, I had little Dexter cows.
Yeah.
Little baby cows, they're small house cows.
House cows, you can have house cows.
Yeah, yeah, they are tiny. Pigs are the most beautiful animals. They are
really intelligent.
Yeah, really, really intelligent, really funny. My pigs, they'd lie down and you get the yard broom out and I'd hose them down and scrub them and they'd lie there.
Massage.
Yeah, fabulous. I got to the point of realising, I suppose the phrase is that other animals didn't, or other beings didn't have to die in order for me to live.
Yeah.
So I thought, no, this is just wrong. The last day I did it, I actually slaughtered 60 animals.
In one day?
Yeah. They were all going to market.
Wow.
And the dog's in the corner with his hands over his ears thinking, I hate this. And I thought, what am I doing this for? I am mad.
Wow.
So having experienced it and having faced it, no, there's no point. There's no point. Waste of time.
Gee whiz.
Mm. Yeah.
What a story, man. I'm not quite there yet. Well, at all, really. I mean, I'd like to think I'm kind of 70-80% vegetarian.
Every small step makes a difference.
Yeah. I've come a long way in the last year. I haven't eaten beef at all for probably a year. Except for maybe a couple of times when I've been at parents or the in-laws and it's Sunday roasts on and it's like, okay. But yeah, my side was more, I'm kind of the carbon emissions guy, trying to cut that down. I personally, as much as I can, cycling to work and all that, and yeah, starting to learn about kind of the food industry and how much, particularly beef and lamb, like the intensity, the amount of land needed, the amount of grain to feed and the amount of water to feed them. It's just insane. Like that's.
And then what's the relationship between that and global warming? You know, the methane coming out the back end of the front end of cows and fat.
Yeah.
Apparently, it's 14% of all
carbon emissions
are from the food industry, or the meat industry. We've got to feed 7 billion people, so we can't cut out entirely. We've got to transport all this stuff around. So I'm not like a... I don't have to say completely, but I'm quite practical about it, I think. But I'm trying to do my bit, a little bit, really. So that's the side I'm coming from, really.
Yeah, there's a couple of films that talk about all of this stuff once. Cowspiracy and the other one's What the Health.
So yeah, there was a sequel in it. I'm going to mention them in my resource, but Cowspiracy was a big one for me, really.
And big
I will get there, I think, with the whole animal welfare side of things. I'm kind of just closing my eyes and hands over my ears a little bit. I know I do need to get there.
One of my resources, because I put several resources down, one of them is the video Earthlings.
Oh, yeah.
Which is amazing and horrendous at the same time.
Yeah, it's something traumatised me a bit, that.
Earthlings, right?
Earthlings.
Everybody should watch it.
Uh-huh.
It starts off with the idea that all of the beings that share this planet have equality, and then it shows you how we treat them.
Mm.
Because we're in that position of supremacy, which is supposed to be an act of intelligence, I guess.
I'm the guy that sees the video on Facebook of the food industry stuff, and then just like scrolls past it. Yeah, I know what's good. I know what awaits me if I watch it.
Yeah, it affects me quite a lot. Earthlings is not just about meat; it's also about the fur and leather and cosmetic testing, and of course, people don't know that the stuff we put in our washing machine and washing up liquid and all kinds of household products are tested on animals, and it's the whole kind of animal chain, circuses, and
it's easy to get caught out, isn't it, and tripped up. As long as you're doing your bit, there's an environmentalist I follow on Twitter, George Monbiot, really good writer, and he does a lot of really good work on the environmental side. And he was on Good Morning Britain a few months ago, and Piers Morgan was there ready to trip him up and grill him. He was talking about how we should try and go to the more plant-based diet and how we need to be more aware of what we do, and Piers Morgan just argued out with him, as he does because he's an idiot, and said, hey, hang on, you've got leather shoes on, hang on, you've got a leather strap on that watch. And George wasn't ready for it, and kind of a little bit, and then on Twitter they had this big argument.
I think that's right. And one of the things I think, if you start talking about veganism as a concept, which is more of a concept of consciousness, it's like you can't exclude things like leather shoes, leather belts. I mean, because the thing, as soon as you buy a leather belt, you just bought into the whole meat economy.
I
mean, you can't separate those things out. One of the things that I find very, very odd, and the more I observe it, the odder I find it, is people that keep a dog as a pet, or a cat as a pet, and then eat meat.
Oh, my mother has this argument with my father all the time. She says they eat dogs in China, so are you going to eat our dog? And he says, of course I'm not going to eat my dog.
Yeah,
but why not? Because they eat dogs in China. And she's like, okay, so you'll eat a pig, but you won't eat our dog. And I'm like, I'm staying out of this.
but when you look at it like that, it's insane. It's the same. Why is there one group of animals which is okay?
And we're going to speciesism.
We're going to go out of our way to protect these come what may, and we're going to go and eat the rest.
Yeah.
No, little lamb's okay, we can eat that one, but with this little cat.
Yeah, I saw a little clip on YouTube about this little pig, the cartoon sketch they'd put together, and it was the pig crying, saying, I wish I was a dog or a cat.
When did you last see a horse nip down the tack shop and say, oi, can you give us a saddle and a bridle? I need to go and find a human to ride, to ride me. Mm. Yeah? It's like we break animal spirits and then make them be what we want them to be. And then we say it's normal and we're looking after them. And like a dog is a pack animal, dogs don't live on their own with human beings.
Yeah.
Yeah, unless we force them to.
Well, that's where it all comes around in the same ball of energy, I think, because we also make animals fight other animals. We put horses in bullfighting rings. We do make there is the dog fighting kind of thing.
But even horse racing.
And I think that veganism as well for me isn't just about food, it's about us all looking after each other and loving each other, and the whole energy will be a lot nicer in the air.
Well, we're getting there, aren't we, because I haven't got any stats to hand on that. Oh, we might actually, but everyone is talking about veganism a lot more so now than say 2-3 years ago.
Tesco, they've all got their own range.
We do our shopping online at Asda on the app, and if you search vegan, huge list of things come up straight away. And I'm guessing a year ago, 2 years ago, that wouldn't have happened. So we're making big progress.
Yeah.
What's the veganuary in this podcast you want to...
Veganuary is about everyone trying to try out veganism in January.
Or February, you could do it in February.
You could do it in February.
Because we're getting halfway through.
I think 115,000 people have signed up. Even if people don't do Veganuary, even if they did Meat Free Monday or just cut down a little bit, every small change makes a difference. I think this whole idea of people completely stop eating meat and going from one thing to the other scares people a lot. So I think any small change makes a difference. And you know, 2018 is predicted to be the biggest rise in veganism, vegetarianism, and people reducing meat. Domino's have brought up vegan pizzas. You're kind of... Yeah. You can go into... I went into a train station shop in Lime Street in Liverpool last week, in a small station shop, and they had a vegan sausage sandwich. You never would have seen that 10 years ago.
Actually, I bought one the other week from... It wasn't too bad. It was all right, man. It was all right. And I was in a little restaurant. There's a chain of a few restaurants on the world. Otto Lounge, Merino Lounge in New Brighton.
Yeah.
You know, I think there's probably 7 or 8 of them dotted around now. But they had a vegan menu on the table in the holder. You didn't have to go up and ask for it. Or obviously, they had the vegetarian stuff as well on the main menu.
Yeah.
But yeah, there was a whole vegan menu you could pick from.
It's really inspiring to see
everyone
developing these things.
I think one of the other big things that's changed is milk. Is there are so many varieties of milk.
Oh, I know.
You know,
you go to Starbucks now and you go and have a coffee and they go, do you want oat milk, coconut milk, cashew nut milk, almond milk, or milk?
Yeah.
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 Yeah. And for me, they're fabulous because I use them for cooking with. So you can use them just as you use milk. Did you know that if you get chickpeas, if you use the juice out of a chickpea,
aquafaba,
use it as egg whites?
Yeah.
You can even make meringues with it. It's amazing.
And can I just tell everyone who's cooking, when you use your chickpeas and you drain your juice down the sink, freeze it for when you need an egg white.
The water that's been cooked in?
Yeah. The juice that
it's
comes
like
in
a,
the
It's
in
like
the
a
can.
Star.
Oh, sorry, right, okay.
Yeah.
Tip it out. But you can actually use it like an egg white to make a meringue. Or if you're going to make macarons or something like that, you could use it.
Okay. Banana pancakes as well?
Yeah, yeah.
Tell us about, because we're pancake mad in our family,
we have pancakes Sundays.
Pancakes and waffles.
We have pancakes Sundays, but they're banana-based. So it's oats with
bananas.
Yeah,
Will sent me a recipe for it, which I haven't tried yet. Apologies. Yeah. But you've got to let the really ripe bananas, is that right, ideally?
Well, what we do is we put bananas in the freezer. So that when you defrost them, they're nice and black and nice and yummy for slodging up with.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's all this stuff that people, like you were talking about, it's all about education, because 6 months ago I would never have known to use in place of an egg. I had that, well, where am I going to get my B12 protein and iron from? Well, what do I use instead of this? But for everything that someone comes and says to me, but what would you use for this? If I use an egg, what would I use? If I did this, what would I use? You know, now I'm making vegan ice cream, I'm making, you know, everything. So it's whatever you want, there is an alternative for it.
So, and when I make vegan ice cream, I'm using coconut. Well, you do the same, do you?
Or bananas or peanut butter.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There was an article I read just last week, I'll link to it. A journalist last year went on a big health kick. I think she had cancer. I think she's early, mid-40s kind of age, and life was starting to catch up with her a little bit. Had the treatment, thankfully got through it, and then made this decision to change her life big time. So tweaked her diet big time. I think vegan, she did the whole vegan thing. Much more kind of healthy, cycling, personal trainer, that kind of thing. Huge impact, ice baths even as well.
Yeah.
I'll link to it. But she was talking about some friends of hers that are kind of, she kind of looked up to in terms of diet. They're always one step ahead, like the latest thing. They came over from America to see her, and she was going to cook them this wonderful vegan meal, which... but then they said they're up for it, but they eat by blood type now.
Blood type diet, yeah.
So I found this link, which I will chuck up in the show notes. Dadamo, dadamo.com. So this is some interesting stuff where it basically encourages you to find out your blood type and eat
according to that.
Which is pretty fascinating, really, and obviously that talks to the side of things where we're all different, we all process food differently and get to know your body and then eat accordingly.
And that comes back to listening to your body and what it needs. And
I remember reading a story about Novak Djokovic, the tennis player, who was, you know, a good tennis player. I think he was top 10 in the world, so he's amazing, but he couldn't quite get to that level where he was playing against Nadal and Federer, and he couldn't beat them. And he was struggled with energy, I think. And then he didn't go vegan, or not that I know, but he found out that he was intolerant of gluten. So he went the gluten-free route initially, and that gave him that extra 10%.
Extra energy.
And then for 3, 4, 5 years, he was the best player in the world.
Well,
if you look at blood types, in Ayurvedic philosophy, you have, in Ayurvedic medicine and diet, you have the doshas, vata, pitta, kapha. And it's the same thing with blood groups. Like you got A, B, O, and A, B as a type. A, B, O, and A, B.
Oh.
But it reflects very much the Ayurvedic way of looking at how you'd have diet.
How do you?
O types, very, very strong stomach acid, and they're the ones that get on easiest with meat.
Right.
Whereas A types and B types, meat doesn't work at all. And for O types and B types, very often the gluten is an issue.
Yeah.
Whereas A types, which is what I am,
not a lot of people,
I can eat pasta till it comes in.
It's really interesting, that, isn't it?
It's fascinating. Yeah. A lot of people probably won't even know why they're tired all the time, why things don't react with them too well, just because we're just kind of used to eating a certain way. And
yeah, and I think a lot of people
like milk on our cereal in the morning, that kind of thing. It's just what you do, isn't it?
Exactly. I hear a lot of people say to me all the time, "Oh, well, where am I going to get my B12 from?" But you know, it's kind of, there's a lot of meat eaters with B12 deficiency, with iron deficiency, with protein deficiency as well.
Okay.
The trick is you eat lots of green vegetables, and preferably you don't boil them. But if you do boil them rather than steam them, you use the water.
Mm.
You don't throw the water.
That's where
the stuff is. If I was going to boil broccoli, I would boil the broccoli, never throw away the stem, always use the stem, waste throwing away. And then I'd use the florets to cook with, to eat, and then I would do a Nutribullet of the water and the stem.
Wow,
and,
that's keen, isn't it?
Points to Sean,
Cool. But then you've got, and then you might put something in that, like maca powder or something like that, which maca root, which gives you a good whoomph.
Mm.
You know what I mean? So there are lots of things that you can do that we just throw down the sink.
Down the sink, like the chickpea juice.
Yeah, yeah.
Aquafaba.
Yeah.
Good stuff.
Silly name, whoever thought of that name.
What was that?
Aquafaba,
called. Aquafaba.
Aquafaba, yeah.
Like it, man. There's whole new industries, aren't they? Ready to explode and boom. And,
yeah.
It's exciting times, really.
Yeah.
So we got, actually, weirdly, sort of recognised his face. Don McAllister has got a podcast about veganism,
is it? About Veganuary.
I'd come across Don years ago. He used to do reviews of software for Apple. Stuff. So I'm going to look into that.
The world is a small place.
Yeah. Fascinating. Any other things you want to mention in terms of books or resources or people you follow and hang on their every word online?
Oh, yes. Absolutely. Definitely the Vegan Food Pimp, because she inspired me so much with the simplicity of her cooking. Dalip Mata, who owns a health food shop in Liverpool, he's opening a wellbeing centre where people can go and do yoga, meditation, and also learn about plant-based eating and all different kinds of things.
Yeah.
And he's taught me a lot as well. Like he said to me, when he was a vegetarian for years, he often felt like eating fish, but then he'd have a little bit of B12 and it'd take the taste away and things like that. I've learned so many things from him. And I think if anybody wants to kind of look into it or start off, Peter and Aviva do websites where you can download a starter pack, and I'm always here to give anyone advice that they need and help, and it's just about small steps at a time. Working on it,
like anything we talk about on the show, really. It's, you don't have to go cold turkey
from one to the other,
from like switch completely.
It's evolution, not revolution.
It's evolution.
Yeah.
Meat-free Mondays. I mean, I didn't go down that route, but for me it was beef, cut it out, and try and figure out how we can, as a family, do it, which wasn't too hard.
To me, the easiest thing is if you want to stop eating lamb, go to a farm when they're lambing and actually get involved in it.
Mm.
You know, it's the quickest way to connect with an animal and think, actually, I don't want to eat you. You know.
Yeah.
It's weird. I watch these programs like Jamie and Jimmy, where they're going around talking about how we should be eating this animal and how we're wasting that, and we should be eating more goats and all that kind of stuff. And I get that people need to eat, and that whole issue that people are wherever they are in their own journey of food. But it seems so bizarre to me to have a bunch of people on the television talking about how to torture, slaughter, and cook another being. I mean, if it was Jeremy from next door that we had on the spit, you know, we'd all be outraged.
But well, it's not Jeremy.
He'd be all right.
He'd be fine.
Yeah.
But I mean, on my resources, I've included Schindler's List and the boy in the striped pyjamas.
Brilliant.
Yeah?
Absolutely.
Because to me...
pyjamas wrong, but I'll let you off with that. Boy in the striped pyjamas, okay.
Yeah. Have you ever watched it?
You have, yeah. It's been a while. Schindler's List as well. Yeah.
But those things, to me, are... When you look at the way that a group of people dehumanise other groups of people and then mistreated them and killed them and beat them, there's no difference between that and what we do in animals.
Yeah.
But because it's human beings, we're outraged.
I this isn't my opinion or what I'm saying, but I saw something recently
on the internet. You
are saying it, though. Well, yeah, I am saying it. They've started gassing pigs in gas chambers. And a lot of people are saying, well, hang on a minute. You know, that was done to the Jews, and so what we're doing to animals is no different from the kind... It's like an animal holocaust. And I read that and thought, oh, that's kind of interesting. But, I mean... The whole thing about veganism just stemmed down to meat as well. As I said, it's all cosmetics. I work very closely with a cosmetic company called With Nature Skincare. We fund projects to help the environment and animals and all different kinds of things. And this year I'm filming a documentary with Sincere Films in Liverpool about veganism, where you can eat, restaurants, what to do. I'm going to do interviews with chefs. I'm going to do kind of the whole thing. So hopefully that will inspire and help people as
okay,
well
let us know about that stuff.
What
was I going to say? I want to mention to HelloFresh.com. My office pal Mike sent me an invite to get some free food from them, and they sent a few. It wasn't it was not vegetarian, but there are vegetarian options on there, but they kind of reintroduced me to the fact that how good fresh food tastes. So it was all from scratch, everything. Whereas we've got, as a family, got a little bit lazy in terms of, you know, we've got a couple of kids to feed quickly after school and all that. So it's like, get it done.
There are loads of cookery schools around here. I mean, we've got them on the Wirral. I go to Altrincham and do some courses there. There's the Vegetarian Society that has a vegan, they do the cordon vert.
Claremont Farm. Course.
Yeah, well, Claremont I want to mention Farm. Claremont Farm in a sec. Yeah.
There's an Indian restaurant in Altrincham that does courses, and it's set up like MasterChef when you're in there. But they show you how to make sauces really quickly.
Yeah. Mm.
You don't have to get them out of a jar.
Yeah.
You know, and just showing you the very simple way of putting a really good curry sauce together.
Yeah.
Yeah, whatever strength you want.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It doesn't have to be complicated.
No, not at all.
Yeah, you can get, you know, 5-ingredient, 13-minute meals and it's
Yeah, but check out HelloFresh, and we kind of got a free trial and I've stopped it. The food was amazing, but I was kind of issues about it came in this big box. Everything was individually wrapped in little plastic things. Kind of the amount of energy that it took to send it. But you get the recipe cards and you can keep them. And we've got this amazing on the Wirral here. Well, there's a few actually, but Claremont Farm.
Mm-hmm.
The shop there is amazing, man. It's all
and they do vegan cookery classes.
They do cookery classes. They've got a butcher's there as well, but I'm sure they're working on that. But you know, butchers aren't evil people at all, Holly, man. It's an industry that goes back since the birth of the kind of human civilization.
But one of the things I was saying before we went on air is that the reason that human beings have survived is because we eat anything.
Yeah.
And over time, that's what's happened. But alongside us have grown up rats, pigs and dogs. We've all evolved together.
Yeah.
I think of people, you know, are wanting to try it. They could go to, like, maybe a vegan cafe and experiment there before they go off on their own. There's the Egg in Liverpool or Jarro, the new... purely vegan cafe in Birkenhead Hamilton Square.
Up the road there.
Yeah.
Give him an advert for another one. Simon Rimmer's The Viking. Have you been there?
No.
In West Kirby.
West Kirby. It's a pub, restaurant pub. Simon Rimmer off of the Sunday
kitchen,
brunch.
Sunday brunch. Yeah, the bald-headed guy.
That's right, yeah.
Nice fella. Seems nice.
Lovely guy. and he's got a vegetarian restaurant in Manchester called Greens.
Oh, yeah.
Which is great, yeah. Nice there. But in The Viking, they do a vegan bowl, a vegan salad bowl, which is absolutely gorgeous. Absolutely amazing.
Butter bowl.
Okay, butter bowl. Lots to try. I think this is mainly the kind of point coming out of all this is just to kind of, A, learn about your body, what kind of, if there are any kind of cues in terms of health that maybe, I don't know, maybe you've been tired for the last 20 years without kind of realising that something maybe you can do about it. Learning about your body, isn't it?
Yeah,
and learning about
education.
What you've been eating and being mindful. making little changes.
On the blog that I've done to go with this one, I've called it "You Are What You Eat," which is a pinch quote, which I do.
I've heard, definitely heard that before, so yeah. I don't think it's copyrighted. You're allowed to use it.
No. I've actually given credit to the person who wrote it.
Fair dues.
Which is 1876, I think. Okay. It's quite old, yeah.
Cool.
But that idea that you are what you put in your body, and we accept that with things like medication or drugs or alcohol or whatever, but we fail to realise that it's true of food. And that idea that the majority of the population are digging their own grave with their knife and fork is a very real one.
Yeah, it is. It is. Mm. It's just... Yeah. But everyone kind of has to... No, how can I say this? Everyone has to reach... at their own pace. You can't make people.
Yeah.
You can't push people forward to be in where you think.
I think that's where we need to do the most work. Really, is how chaps like ourselves and our listeners kind of find that sweet spot of how to share the news about all this stuff without.
But the thing is that
shoving people over
a cliff. If you cook someone a meal and they go, "Wow, that was amazing."
Yeah.
Yeah, that's the way you do it. That's what I mean about. If you want to stop people eating burgers, don't ban burgers. Create a vegan burger that's so amazing, everyone's going to want to eat it.
Yeah, and they don't even realise.
Yes.
Or maybe they might even say, like with the Linda McCartney burger, or I haven't tried an Impossible Burger, this is the best burger I've ever had.
But Linda McCartney, I've served to meat eaters and they haven't noticed the difference. That's one. And the other one I like doing is if you get young courgettes and you ribbon them, peel them and then ribbon them, people can't tell the difference between that and tagliatelle.
Yeah, that's just people really think, the texture,
it's
isn't
weird
it?
Because people eat with their eyes a lot.
Yeah.
You know, which is why you were saying about that. Was it an Impossible Burger?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it was so kind of meaty, it looked meaty. The meters would
it
go.
It bleeds.
Yeah,
it's weird.
It was just that, because I didn't see it as blood, I just kind of saw it as tomato juice just because my lawyer made my legs. But okay. It just looked delicious. It was. Yeah.
Science, man. What's your resource? I think you've already mentioned, actually, Jodie, the book, was it?
The Vegan Food Pimp. Sorry to say that again, but this...
No?
Previously, I had complicated cookbooks, and then Sean lent me this delicious 366 ways, delicious ways to cook rice, and I discovered the Vegan Food Pimp, and I discovered a much simpler, easier way to do things, and now on a Sunday, I spend kind of 2 hours preparing everything fresh, and then I freeze, and I've got the whole week kind of ready. And she's taught me so many things about my body and about food and about veganism and about how to listen to myself. I recently done a nutrition plan with her because I was struggling a bit with my weight, and there's no calories in there, there's no fat in there, there's no carbs in there.
No calories. There must be some calories.
No, I mean, I don't really I counted it.
Okay.
Because she purely works
just
on
just breathes fresh air three times a day.
Is it fresh air, man? There's a lot of cars around.
She just teaches you that when the mind and body are in balance, and you listen to yourself, your body will tell you what it needs.
But if you think about that, the only times that I see human beings actually connecting with their body is either when they've done a lot of meditation and they're fairly sort of enlightened in terms of self-awareness, or when a woman's pregnant. And when a woman's pregnant, her body screams at her, "I need coal and cabbages and I need it now."
Yeah.
You know what I mean? There is that demand that comes from. But we don't listen to our bodies. We eat with what we...
When I'm ill, when I was ill, weirdly, I crave pineapple.
Pineapple, that's another thing she taught me. The enzymes break down all the phlegm in your throat and all the gum.
Really?
Yeah.
My neck ended. Well, it's weird. I just kind of crave it. And I can almost... I managed to just about get out of the house and cycled when I was ill to the shop. And bought a load
of
pineapple.
You cycled when you were ill.
Yes. Blowing my nose halfway there. When he got some pineapple, went home and cracked it open and, loved it, man.
Yeah. Pineapple is the one thing that they say you should never waste the juice out of a pineapple tin, because it is so good for you. If you buy tinned pineapple, you drink the juice as well.
For me, my resources are Cowspiracy, What the Health, both on Netflix. I'm sure that you can get them online somehow.
Absolutely brilliant.
But they were quite eye-openers for me. Certainly Cowspiracy, the first of the two. Amazing, really. I've seen there's some celebs, thankfully, doing some good work spreading the word about these as well. Lewis Hamilton, I saw last month. He's been trying. He saw Cowspiracy, and he's trying veganism.
Yeah,
he's interested in trying to get that little edge as well on his opponents, which I'm fascinated by. The health side of it and how you can just get that extra 10% from life.
Yeah, I think he initially made a plan to try it for a month, didn't he, and see how he felt, and then
yeah, he's pushing it on. But yeah, there's a Will I Am video.
Robbie Williams.
So yeah, man, it's exciting times. Wonder where we're going to be a year from now. There was a Georges Monbiot, the writer. He's just done a debate, which has been filmed. It's not online yet, but I'll tweet it out when it comes. Where he debated with people from the meat side of things. Basically, the question was, will people still eat meat in the year 2100 or not? Wow. Discuss. I don't think it'll happen. I think it'll be a lot sooner than that.
You are the only odd one out here, Ed.
Yeah,
me and Sean are on that
side. I need to get there, but I can see it, man. I think we have to kick that habit, don't we?
I think that we may end up in a situation where we don't have a lot of choice.
Where it gets too expensive, for example. I think.
What you mean? It'll be like Planet of the Apes, where they're all kind of.
I think we've got people like Trumpy, our best friend, who
I've got my Trump toilet roll here. Thank you, Sean.
Kiss my backside. the thing about him saying that, you know, global warming is a load of nonsense. Well, the way that we find out whether it's true or not is when the planet starts to fight back.
Elon Musk calls it the dumbest experiment in history, is what we're currently...
Sorry to interrupt. It's just really interesting, because when I was reading something about Trump and exactly what you're saying on Twitter the other day, on the next feed, there was a thing about veganism and the environment, and it was like 50% of America's water goes to raising animals for food, 30% of the landmass to raise them, and 70% of the cereal and grain to feed them, underneath Trump's environmental.
I
was thinking, okay.
But that grain could have gone directly to make human bodies work, rather than going through the cattle into the human.
And the water.
Yeah.
Exactly. All the amount of land and land use, in, even in Britain, actually. George Monbiot calls a lot of British kind of beautiful spots like the Lake District. He says they're green deserts because they shouldn't look all
they
these rolling green hills.
There
should be trees. There should be moss. There should be heather, which is what collects the water. And we're having a lot of flooding in the UK recently, more so than ever, because we kind of strip back the countryside, so the water just runs off straight down the hill into the local village. Rewilding. Look that up as well, man. We need to do it. I think I need to set up a whole kind of environmental podcast, really.
You do, actually,
We talk about this stuff all day. I feel like we should just fade ourselves out as we just carry on talking, because we could go forever.
I think Sean should do a cookery class for us.
Do you think?
Yeah.
Organise it. We can do it on YouTube. We could live stream it, couldn't we?
We could.
Right, I'm going to call it a day there.
Okay, we'll be here all day if you do.
We do, yeah.
Jody, thanks so much for coming in.
Thank you very much.
Good fun. We're podcasting in the shed today. A show shed, a fancy show shed at Pacific Road.
It's
actually a pretty good spot. I might see if I can nab this in future for us.
Moving.
Yeah. You keep us posted with your progress. You say you're doing some filming.
Yeah, we're planning a documentary. We're sincere.
Do you assume when it's planned to go out?
Well, we're just in the planning stages of writing the storyboard. And
so later this year sometime.
Okay, we'll get it back on maybe once that's ready, so we can give it a bit of a launch, something like that.
Just to give people an insight in where to eat, what to eat, how to get help and stuff like that. It's not going to be, you know, real hardcore kind of disturbing or anything like that.
Okay.
Yeah.
Right, well, we'll leave to you in the show notes website, and you're on Twitter and Instagram and that, aren't you?
Certainly am.
Thanks again.
Thank you very much.
Liveinthepresent.co.uk for all the show notes and links and information about what we're doing. If there's anything you'd like us to talk about in future, or if you'd like to come on the show maybe and you've got a message to spread, give us a shout.
That could be really scary.
Yeah, we'll kind of vet you first. We're quite particularly really sure, aren't we?
Yeah, we are.
And until next week, take it easy. Thanks, guys.
Yeah, see ya.
Bye.
See ya.